is Digital Marketer. Today, Jenna is speaking with Joe Pierre and Matt Wolf from the Hustle and Flowchart podcast.
Thank you for being here today. I'm really excited to kind of talk about what you guys are doing, what you're up to. I know you spend a lot of time on your podcast, Hustle and Flowchart, which is awesome. Y'all have your hands in a lot of different projects. I'd love to know just right now, what's your number one focus and what makes you so excited about it?
Right now, it's totally the podcast. And so Hustle and Flowchart, that's where we're seeing the biggest growth in terms of just our downloads, but everything else comes from the actual podcast. So all of our content creation, I would say like what, Matt, 80, 90% starts with the podcast.
Yeah.
And then kind of leads into blog posts and physical newsletters and membership sites, all this stuff. So that's what we're pumped up about.
So this goes back all the way to, I mean, it's not too old. What, 2018?
Yeah, we actually started podcasting back in 2010. But our podcast kind of came and went and changed names a few times. And, you know, it's sort of iterated over the years. But Hustle and Flowchart, the current show in its current form, has been around for 2.5 years now, pushing 3 years.
Yeah. So we're, you know, we're podcast to podcast right now. You know, I love seeing what different people are able to do with their podcast. So I'd love to just know more about, one, how you're spinning off content and kind of what that process looks like. And then two, at what point you decide to gate things, and at what point, you know, are you guys running a shipping and handling offer right now?
So, so everything, so our whole process, and I'll give like the higher level of how it looks like with, like you were saying, kind of content repurposing and then gating at a certain time where, you know, it's like a paywall. And then Matt can get into some more details there and we can kind of dig into it. So I would say like the biggest thing with the podcast is, you know, it's, everything's free at the podcast level. And then what we're trying to do is get them to join an email list, on the email list after they listen to an episode. And we actually hire a note taker, kind of like what you guys do for TNC, all those different notes. We basically got that influence from you guys and now apply it to our show. So we have a note taker for every single episode that gives extensive notes to our listeners. In exchange, it's for a free opt-in. And that's typically within a week period of time, they have the opportunity to get the notes for the last two previous shows because we're a twice a week show. So once we have them on the email list, then, you know, of course, we can give them more value. We can give them related offers to what they listen to because we try to segment as much as possible. And then from that point, you know, after the week or so, those notes are live. Actually, about 3 weeks later, about a month later, it turns into a physical newsletter that we have people subscribe for. And it's a very low dollar amount. Right now, it's about $15. And the idea there is that it has all of the month's previous notes. So a lot of our hardcore listeners immediately jump onto this newsletter because it's a time saver. They can see all the action steps from each episode. So we try to make it super easy for people to actually use what they're listening to. Or maybe if they just don't have the time to listen to the show, they have the opportunity to get everything in kind of one spot.
Yeah, so we're fairly unique in the sense that the content that we sell is also the same content that we give away for free. So our flow is essentially looks like this. We interview somebody on our podcast. We do between 8 and 9 episodes a month, 2 a week, but, you know, so 8 to 9, depending on how many Tuesdays and Thursdays fall in the month. And then each episode goes to a note taker, like Joe was mentioning, who takes detailed notes. So the step-by-step processes, the tools, the resources, everything mentioned on the show gets broken down into these notes. And for 2 weeks after that episode goes live, that is the free opt-in. That is what that is our call to action on the show. Go get the notes for this episode. You know, you're probably out for a walk, you're driving, you're, you know, doing chores around the house. You probably can't take notes on this show. So go here, get the notes for this episode. They'll be available for a week. And so for 1 week, those notes are available for free to opt in for. And then after that, they kind of get locked up in a sort of members vault. And now, in order to continue getting the notes, you sign up for our monthly membership, which is $15 a month. And that is actually a print newsletter that aggregates all of these notes from all of our episodes and sends them to you in the mail every month. And that's kind of like our whole business model. And then we also have affiliate marketing in the mix. So that's a second way we monetize our podcast is through promoting affiliate products on our podcast.
I absolutely love this because I feel like it turns being a being a publisher, digital publisher, kind of on its head, where it front loads all of the work into the least amount of work, the thing that is the least amount of work, and then you outsource the rest. And that is so genius. I don't know if I've ever heard of anyone doing it like that. I mean, to have an offer that is the offer. The offer is the offer that is the offer. You know what I mean? There's a simplicity to it that I totally love.
I mean, the way that we see our podcast is almost like an event. So mm-hmm. you know, Digital Marketer puts on a ton of events. And yeah, there's all this content, like Roland's podcast, Business Lunch, is probably a great example. He repurposes a lot of those things, you know, talks from on stage at TNC, interviews he's done with folks. And it's kind of like an influence like that. We just see the podcast as a stage that allows us to repurpose that content in so many different ways. Like we do a lot of Facebook and YouTube and all sorts of different, you know, we try to distribute the content on a bunch of different platforms, but also do advertising on those platforms to both give exposure to our guests a little further, kind of leverage their names or their topics. And then also, you know, it's a discoverability thing for the podcast, because right now it's not the easiest to get a podcast discovered unless you have, you know, budget. or a big network or something.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people can't figure out why we spend so much money to grow our podcast. You know, we buy Facebook ads, we buy Google ads, we buy Reddit ads, we buy ads in all of the various podcast platforms that let us advertise in them. We're starting to experiment with, like, Spotify just released a new ad platform and you can advertise on podcasts. So we spend a ton of money to just grow our podcasts, you know, day in and day out. And most other podcasters go, I don't get it. Most podcasts don't ROI. How are you spending money? But this is how we're doing it, is every single piece of content that we make on our podcast gets repurposed into multiple ways. The podcast turns into a YouTube video. The podcast gets turned into a companion that we get an opt-in for. And then it turns into our newsletter at the end of the month. And we actually have a second podcast that's a daily podcast called Hustle and Flow Shorts. And Hustle and Flow Shorts is curated clips from our longer podcast. So no episode of Hustle and Flow Shorts is longer than 15 minutes. And what it is just little golden nuggets and tips and little bits of wisdom from our longer form episodes. So anybody who, you know, doesn't want to listen to one and a half, 2 hour long podcast episodes can go listen to just the little 15 minute clips that we deemed were like the best little bits of wisdom from this show. And then also that little show feeds our newsletter as well, because it's all kind of the same content.
So I feel like there's a couple of things here that y'all are doing absolutely amazingly right. And if you don't mind me taking a moment to break it down, I feel like one, you know, a lot of people get really sucked into the idea of content marketing and they think 1500 word blog, right? And y'all are finding ways to create content that's not just like, you know, it's all the ways you can create content, which number two leads me to the next point, that you're meeting the customers where they're at, wherever they're at, no matter what way they want to consume content. And you're finding a way to deliver it in that format. And three, I think there's a simplicity about having a topic, and it's not like you have to keep creating newer and newer constant content about the same topic. You can just find different ways to distribute it and different ways to have someone consume it. So I love this. This is really cool.
One of the keys to it all too is just the angling of it. I think most people would probably go out and angle it as, hey, you know, buy all this content from us. We have a lot of information and here's where you can go buy that information. Mm-hmm. But the way we're angling it is we're trying to sell people time savings. Look, our podcasts are 1 hour to 2 hours long. Do you want to save some time of having to sit through all these podcasts and look for the gold nuggets? Well, go opt in for the notes and then sign up for the newsletter and we're going to save you a ton of time. So we're essentially angling it as a huge time saving thing versus here's a giant info product that you can go buy.
So friggin' smart.
Yeah, and you hit on a good point of, I like the three things you actually listed there. So we choose podcasting as a way to kind of flow with our content. It's the easiest, like you said, it's our easiest way to create mm-hmm. the content just through audio. And, you know, some people love to write, they prefer that, or video, and props to them, you know, whatever that mode is for creating the content that's least friction possible, go for it. You know, we just choose audio, but either way, you always have the opportunity to then turn those into formats with content repurposing, like you were also saying, so you can meet the consumers, you know, the content consumers where they're at, because everybody has their own modalities. And that's why we're constantly trying to be everywhere. And it kind of gives us this omnipresence look, you know, in our content and our ads and all our newsletter. Now we're showing up in people's mailboxes at home. It's kind of just extending that whole omnipresence feel everywhere.
Yeah.
And we hear it all the time, and we just kind of laugh and chuckle, you know, because it appears that we have this massive advertising budget and huge team, but that's definitely not the case, or it's not needed, at least.
You can do so much with some really great outsourcers. Our teams are super lean. Yeah. We have one person that runs the blog, the entire blog.
Wow. That's impressive.
Actually. Yeah. Yeah, her name is Becky Zieber. She's freaking amazing. I want to go back to the very beginning of just where your love of marketing began and kind of your, like, your entrepreneur's journey. Obviously, you each start, you know, in your own little spot and then meet up somewhere in the middle. So I'd love to just hear about that.
So, yeah, Matt and I kind of started in the marketing space at the same time. And this was working at his parents' company. He had a window shutter company, this interior shutters. And on the side, basically what we were doing is starting to consume some, we read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That was kind of like the catalyst that kicked off, oh, our time is worth more than just dollar per hour. So we're interested in blogging, tech, and websites. Matt was building stuff in the past. I've done a little bit as well. So we actually started off with blogging in the health space and then also in the financial space. And from there, we started to kind of get some trickles of money in with different ads, selling ad spots. And then that kind of put the light bulb on as well. Then affiliate marketing slowly kind of, you know, creeped into it all. So then we started to see how we can really leverage our time for creating a piece of content out there and put it into the world, and how that can actually pay dividends multiple times rather than just that one time. So I would say right around that point, yeah, we kind of got the light bulb, and there was a bunch of stuff that happened. You know, we both got married at different, you know, during the same year to our wives and graduated college. And then we kind of all both decided to quit our jobs and just go full time on this stuff.
Wow.
So it was a pretty turbulent time, I would say, but it was good because that's what we needed. And Matt, you can probably go into it, but you went more the tech route, you know, with WordPress mm-hmm. and all that stuff. Whereas I went more the client route with creating a lot of videos, sales videos for folks. And Matt and I have always kind of been, you know, like partners, even if it's not, you know, in the day-to-day business, but at least kind of like a good support staff for each other. Mm-hmm. And I would say since then, you know, about what, 2013 or so, was it, Matt? That's when we kind of really started to join forces. That's where the podcasting kind of came into play, 2012, 2013-ish.
Yeah. I mean, our first podcast was in 2010 when we did the online income podcast. But that one didn't last very long. But yeah. So I started building websites for people while I had free time, where we were working at the shutter company, in about 2005. 2007 was when Joe kind of joined that company, and we started reading some books about financial independence and entrepreneurship and things like that. And then in 2009 was when we quit to just dive in full time, even though we were barely making any money. We went for it. And for a little while, we were just kind of co-running these blogs and selling advertising on these blogs. And it was making us some extra money, but not enough to pay the bills. And luckily, both of our wives were working at the time, so we were kind of like being supported in those early days.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of split up, and Joe went more the agency route and started working with people, making videos and stuff for people. I went more the info product route. I developed a course called the WordPress Classroom, which then a business partner bought into it. We rebranded it as Learn to Blog. So I had this large info course called Learn to Blog, and then I sold that in 2015. Was that in 2015? No, that was in 2015, but Joe and I started working together in 2013. I don't know. It's hard to give like a real like linear timeline of this story with both of us because we kind of like came together and worked on some projects, and then we kind of split up and worked on projects separately, and then came back together and then split up. And then we had projects going independently, but also had projects going combined. And really a big sort of turning point for us was Joe and I in around 2015, we decided to start an agency business together and do content marketing for people. We'd been so successful with our own blogging and monetizing our blogs over the years that we figured, you know what, why don't we go and do this for other people and start creating content for other people and SEOing their site for them and helping them drive traffic and, you know, just be the content arm of a handful of businesses and charge a pretty good retainer for it. So we started doing that in about 2015. And then somewhere along the line, a light bulb went off in our heads and we went, all of this content marketing that we're doing for these other companies, you know, we're getting a flat fee on it. We were charging $5,000 a month retainer. We had a handful of clients doing it, but we were capped at $5,000 a month, no matter how good we did for these clients. We could take a client from making, you know, $50,000 a month to $200,000 a month, but no matter what, we're going to make $5,000 off of it. Hmm. And so we had this ceiling and we realized, why don't we go and use these exact same strategies that we sort of learned while doing it for other people and just apply them to our own business, but this time do it as an affiliate. So some of our actual clients that we had at the time, we actually fired the clients, became affiliates of the exact same products, and then made five times the money being an affiliate doing the exact same work for them.
Wow.
And so that was sort of a big turning point for us when we figured, you know what? All of the stuff we're doing for our clients, we could probably make more money just trying to do it for our own business. And then around that same time was when the newsletter came into the picture, the podcast came into the picture, and we just kind of went all in on just doing our own thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like this was so, I mean, this is years in the making and super organic. I was going to ask because, you know, you've mentioned, and I read some of your bios, well, both of them. I read both of your bios on your website, but that, you know, you each kind of make up for some of the things that the other lacks. So like Matt is the more analytical mind, and then Joe obviously is the more client-minded guy. So I was just going to ask, like, how do you recommend other people who are starting businesses and can't do it all, because we're not all like the perfect business person, we have faults. How do you find a partner for something like this? And I mean, pumpkin patch, meet him at the grocery store.
Yeah, I mean, you never know where you're gonna meet them.
Yeah.
I would say definitely get super clear, because this took Matt and I a long time to even get clear on what we are good at, you know, the two of us, even though it might be obvious to people on the outside. It took us most of the time working together to really figure out where to not step on each other's toes and the things that we shouldn't be stressing out over if we're not good, innately good at those skills. Like you said, Matt's more the spreadsheet. He's the systems. He's the analytical mind. He's the guy that kind of puts everything in a sequential order. Whereas I'm more of the kind of, here's the ideas, the people focus, communication. I love, you know, just meeting up with people and just chatting and connecting. So I would say figure out first what you're really good at, and figure out what your skills are. And the way that some of the things that we did, the tools are the DISC assessment. I believe that's free on some sites out there. I forget exactly the link, but if you look up DISC. And we also took the Colby assessment.
Ooh.
I think it's roughly $50 or so, but that is a very accurate assessment. And those things combined, I would say just one or two of those things, you can get a really good picture of what you're good at and how you like to be communicated to, how you should communicate to others. And then from there, you kind of just figure out, where do you need to shore up things? And maybe it's a partner, maybe it's just a team member. You know, that's probably the best way to start to really assess if you need someone like a partner. We just kind of prefer partners because I don't know, just maybe it's a comfort zone at this point for us.
Yeah. And then just to tack onto that, you know, Joe and I over the years too, we've been fairly relentless about networking and getting to know as many people as we can. And, you know, one thing we haven't even mentioned about the podcast, which I'm sure by now you're pretty well aware of, is that podcasting is one of the greatest networking tools on earth.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You pretty much get to meet anybody you want and have, you know, an hour long conversation with them. And we're, you know, we try to do our best to build relationships with every single one of our guests after they've been on the show. You know, we like to email them and send them, you know, links and resources that we think they would like, and, you know, just try to help them however we can. And, you know, Joe and I are in multiple masterminds. That's how we actually got to know Roland fairly well, as he's in one of our masterminds in San Diego. We go to, you know, events like Traffic and Conversion Summit and War Room and, you know, the digital marketer events. But we also go to local meetups around San Diego. You know, Pat Flynn puts on a local meetup here in San Diego that we've gone to a couple times. One of our buddies, Henry Evans, who's in the same mastermind that I just mentioned, he puts on local meetups. So we just try to get out there and make FaceTime with as many people as possible. And by doing that, you know, we've met people that we've worked with in our business. One of our business partners in a different business that we run, we met just from going to networking events around San Diego and just building relationships and building connections and just always putting ourselves out there and getting to know as many people as we can in the space. And now that we're as hardcore about the podcast as we are, that's sort of doing a lot of the work for us. But before podcasting, that's how we did it. We tried to show up everywhere, just like we do online, where we try to be omnipresent and show up everywhere. We try to do that in the real world too, and show up at every event that we can find. And being in San Diego, that kind of makes it a little bit easier. But you know, if you're in San Diego or Austin or Orlando, you have a real good opportunity to do that kind of thing. But that's really been our plan, is just get to know as many people as we can, even if we have no idea how this relationship's going to play out. You know, let's just build bonds with people. And so that, combined with what Joe just said about kind of knowing who you are and what you need to do to shore up your own weaknesses, those two things, I think, are the ticket.
Absolutely. I love that, too, because we talk a lot about being, you know, H to H, as in a business to consumer, you know, treating your customers like the humans that they are and being a brand that's very human. But we don't talk a lot about those business development relationships being just also totally human, and it can do so much for you. Well, let's talk a little bit about marketing. You know, that's what we're all here for, right? I made a couple notes because y'all mentioned some wild things like Spotify ads. I want to know all about it. Tell me all about Spotify ads.
Well, so Spotify ads is something, just to clarify, we don't have a lot of experience with yet. Spotify just opened up. Well, they've had an advertising platform for a while, but they just, within the past, you know, maybe a week and a half.
It was last week. Yeah.
So within the last week, they opened up the ability to advertise on other people's podcasts. So that's something we're about to experiment with, but we don't have experience with yet. I see the other things you wrote down, Reddit and direct mail. We do have experience with both of those quite a bit, though.
Well, it's interesting, just on the Spotify front, just as from what we understand it, I would recommend anyone who has a podcast or some content on there, even a brand, check it out, because their targeting is getting super focused. It looks a lot like how Facebook did maybe a few years back. You can really drill in pretty targeted. So now that it's open to podcasts as well, that's just more market share to advertise to, because Spotify is putting such an emphasis on podcasts now on that platform. You're just going to see this more and more. So just as a business owner, if you just, you know, not even a podcast owner, it'd be a great place to put some ads there.
Yeah.
Well, Spotify is trying to be like the YouTube for podcasts or the Netflix for podcasts, or, you know, I've heard all sorts of comparisons, and there's probably is no apples to apples comparison, but Spotify is trying to be the biggest player in podcasts. They want to be the place that everybody goes when they want to listen to podcasts. So it's probably something that if you are a podcaster, you want to be paying attention to right now. And I mean, they've spent $500 million in the past, like, 6 months acquiring podcast-based businesses to really, really grow themselves as the big player in the podcasting world.
Yeah, they're putting their money where their podcast is. I mean, they have a lot of really unique data on people. It's not just like what you're interested in or what you talk about on like a Facebook post, but it's like your literal mood and, like, you know, kind of person you were growing up, even just based on the music you listen to and the podcasts that you're interested in. So anyway, that's super cool. I'm excited to see how that continues to grow. But y'all know more about Reddit. You said you're Reddit expert. Tell me all about it. How do you get people to not troll you?
Well, that is probably not something anybody's ever going to achieve on Reddit, because there's a lot of them there.
So tough skin.
I think the trick is to tune those people out. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly.
So there's sort of two things that we're experimenting with on Reddit. There's a sort of an organic strategy and a paid strategy.
Okay.
So organically, Reddit is fairly exciting because you can go and create your own subreddit. So we have a subreddit for Hustle and Flowchart, where every time a new podcast episode goes live, we use IFTTT, if this, then that. Mm-hmm. We use that tool to make it so anytime a new podcast episode goes live, it automatically posts to our Reddit subreddit that we created just for our podcast. So it kind of gives our listeners another place to stay up to date with our podcast. They can go subscribe to that subreddit and see when any new episode goes live. But it also, we're trying to push people there as like the communication platform for our podcast. So instead of having comments on the show notes page, we can go tell people, go ask your questions. Let's continue the discussion around this podcast over on Reddit and get more and more people interacting in that subreddit that we've created around our podcast. So we do have that branded subreddit podcast. And then you can do it around other topics if you want. You know, you can do like a digital marketing subreddit that you run yourself, and you know, you curate your podcast, but plus other stuff that you find around the web. You can do things like that. And we're actually starting to see that subreddit grow at a, you know, the velocity of the growth of it, it's picking up. We're seeing more and more people subscribe to that subreddit and get involved there. And one of the ways we've been doing that is actually getting interactive in existing subreddits. So we go find other subreddits about podcasting or digital marketing or affiliate marketing or SEO, or, you know, you name it, any topic in the digital marketing world, we'll go and answer people's questions in other subreddits. And sometimes we can link over to another Reddit post. If you want to avoid getting trolled, don't try to take people off of Reddit, try to keep them on Reddit. Hmm. Well, the best way to keep them on Reddit is to bring them over to topics on the subreddit that you do own. So we can actually go into conversations and help people out and then tell people, hey, if you want to learn more about this topic, we did a podcast about it, and then link them over to the subreddit. Don't link them off of Reddit, but link them over to the subreddit where they can go find that episode. Hmm. And that's sort of how we've been growing our subreddit. And it's starting to pick up some steam, and we're starting to see some traction there. Yeah. And then with the Reddit ads, their ad platform isn't super in depth yet, but you can target followers of any subreddit. So we are trying to grow our podcast by targeting people who follow subreddits around digital marketing, SEO, affiliate marketing, you know, et cetera. So that's one of the things we're doing. And there's not a whole lot of options. I mean, it's literally just our podcast show notes image and a little line of copy that says, hey, love SEO, you would love this podcast kind of thing. But we're getting like, you know, 40-cent clicks from Reddit right now, because it's not super saturated with marketers yet. Most of the people that are advertising on Reddit are big brands. You're seeing, you know, big name movies. I keep on seeing ads for the new Chucky movie that's coming out. You know, I see ads from places like Jack in the Box and stuff like that. So it's really big companies that are using Reddit ads. Most of the smaller digital marketers and, you know, solopreneurs and stuff haven't really started experimenting with Reddit ads yet. But right now, the clicks are super cheap comparatively to the other platforms.
Yeah. Like you were saying, it's a very, I would say, a loyal user base over there. They're very committed to keeping Reddit a great place for content. So anyone who wants to hop into Reddit for any kind of marketing and giving value, make sure there's a lot of value there. And and that goes for ads as well. But you could see how that's kind of the model we're doing, is we're keeping them on the platform rather than trying to move them away. And, you know, adoption is probably our biggest hurdle, is trying to get people to move to Reddit. But if they're already on Reddit, people love Reddit. So we're trying to cater to that audience as well. It's just another channel, another platform to be on.
Yeah.
I honestly think that we're going to see a lot of digital marketers start to shift over to Reddit as they see the power of Reddit. I mean, it's already starting to happen. We've talked with a handful of people on our podcast who are talking more and more about Reddit. I really do think that Reddit is kind of, I know it's an older social media platform now, but I do think Reddit is kind of the next big social media platform that we're going to start seeing more and more mass adoption around. I think people are getting kind of sick of Facebook and sick of how Facebook controls the feed. And the way Reddit is you get in there on day one and you kind of tailor the feed to only what you want to see. And it's so much better than using something like Facebook or Twitter or one of those platforms, or even Instagram, because you can share images on Reddit as well. And you basically make a tailored feed. I when I get into Reddit, all I see is stuff about podcasting, digital marketing, entrepreneurship, SEO, affiliate marketing, you know, topics like that. Because that's all I'm really that interested in right now. And that's all I want to show up in my feed. And you can't do that on Facebook. Facebook, you got to sort through a lot of crap that you don't really care about before you get to the posts you actually do.
And I would even argue that there aren't a lot on there that you really care about that much anymore. As someone who I was a little bit afraid of Reddit, just because, you know, I had heard the clientele was not the super friendliest, but as soon as I got in there, you're totally right. You can just tailor it to whatever you want it to be. So like when I pop on there, I subscribe to the Zoomies channel. I see all the dogs running around, tiny horses running around all fast. I have a skincare Reddit. So I, you know, people talk about their products.
Yeah.
And then, of course, my Westworld Reddit.
Yeah, I mean the big key is make sure you're posting in the relevant subreddits. I mean, if you post like something where you're trying to be a marketer in a Reddit that's not really too friendly with marketers, it's probably either going to get deleted or you're going to get trolled a little bit. But if you're going and posting in a thread about SEO and you have a new podcast about SEO, then they're going to embrace it if you're sharing good value with them. Yeah.
Well, and let's talk about an older frontier now. Direct mail.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's your strategy on that? Do you go local?
No. So with direct mail, you know, we've got our newsletter, like we talked about earlier with the, you know, the podcast notes, but so we're basically just building up a giant direct mail list of people that we know are interested in digital marketing, because we sell print books, we sell t-shirts, and we sell our newsletter. So we're just constantly collecting addresses. And these are all people that we know are either listening to our podcast or are into digital marketing because our books are on digital marketing. And we've probably got about 1,000 direct mail subscribers now of people that are just interested in digital marketing. So what we're actually doing with our direct mail list is it's two things, really. There's a sort of additional play for sponsors. So if somebody wants to sponsor our podcast, we have additional bonus things that we can put in there. Hey, we'll do a shout out for your product at the top of our show, but we'll also mention your product inside of our monthly newsletter. And we can also do a solo mailing to our direct mail list. And that really boosts the value that we can get out of a sponsor on our podcast. Instead of getting like a $20 to $30 CPM, we can get like a $50 to $100 CPM because we're bundling a bunch of things instead of just an audio ad at the front of our podcast. So that's kind of one thing we're doing with direct mail. But the other thing we're doing is affiliate marketing straight through direct mail. So one of the things we're doing is we're putting out like little 1-2 page sales letters to our direct mail list about various tools and software that we use in our business, and actually making affiliate commissions off of direct mail, which I don't know if anybody else that I've heard of is really doing that. But that's one of the other ways we're leveraging our direct mail list, is instead of allowing people to buy solo mailings to our list, we're just doing solo mailings to our list about products that we use and getting, you know, 50% affiliate cuts off of it.
Yeah. And add on to that, too, is we've seen great retention on a physical newsletter. So when you actually, and ours, like I was saying, it's only $15 a month. That might not always stay that low, but we're going to try for it, just because the money is really made, like what Matt was saying, through the affiliate promotions and sponsorships. And, you know, we see the retention stay very high, and we're starting to see this now. And we've had a lot of, we've had some direct mail kind of old school or gurus, you know, newsletter guru type folks on our show. And they're like, they are going to be some of your best buyers possible, is are these direct mail customers of yours. So the whole goal here then is to, you know, build up and actually get some of our best buyers to then get stuff in the mail at their house. And we're already seeing that move, is some of our best long-term buyers are now subscribers here. And that's just setting us up for, you know, just always putting the best stuff in front of our best and most, you know, the people who have the biggest attention with us. And the podcast, starting, you know, at the very top there, that's part of the reason why we even have a podcast. And it's just like you guys, you probably see the retention of your listeners on each episode really high. Like we've seen up into the 80% plus for like hour long episodes, which is crazy. But You can't do that on Facebook or even YouTube and all that stuff. So if we can kind of hit them on, you know, the digital front with podcasting and then now direct mail with further value and then offers, it's just, it's kind of like this really good platform we're building that kind of, you know, it hits on all these modalities, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah, basically, if somebody listens to our podcast consistently, they're listening to us for 2+ hours per week. And if they're on our newsletter, they're also getting, you know, a bundle of stuff in the mail from us at least once per month. Those people, we can pretty much sell anything we want to them at this point. You know, obviously, we only promote things that we personally find value in, and we're not, you know, we're very ethical, and we're only promoting things that we feel our customers would love. But we do notice that if those two things are true, they're pretty consistent podcast listeners and they're on a newsletter, then those are probably the people that are going to buy every offer we ever put out there.
Yeah. And it seems like it's more use of your time to talk to them and continue to find new ways to get more of them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, it sounds like y'all are just really maximizing every channel possible.
Oh yeah, we try.
We try to. Yeah,
we're big experimenters. I mean, multiple times per week, I'm experimenting with some other strategy that I read recently, or some new platform that I haven't experimented with yet. Or, you know, we've pretty much tried every ad platform you can think of. We've tried every different ad strategy you can think of, or that's been taught. You know, we just constantly test everything all the time.
Yeah, and I would like to urge you listening in your car at home to take a little bit of this away and experiment with something you haven't done before and do something that isn't scalable. We've talked a lot about this, you know, as simple as commenting on, you know, a subreddit, right? And starting a new subreddit. So do the things that don't scale and maximize your channels. I love that. Well,
absolutely.
Before I wrap it up, there's a question I ask everybody. If you could go back in time and tell your 25-year-old self anything at all, helpful or wise, what would you say?
Well, for on the topic, you know, of podcasting and all this content stuff, I would say it was stick with the podcast that we had at that age. Because I know that would, I mean, just look at the Tim Ferriss's, the Joe Rogan's, all these folks who've stuck it out for that period of time. They are now some of the biggest leaders in this space. So, I would probably say that.
Yeah. For me, I would say two things. One, very practical. Start building your email list as early as possible. I think we were like 3 years into our business before we ever even started collecting emails, which was a big mistake. And then the other thing would be that the network is everything. I mean, anytime we've had any sort of struggles with our business, we have our network that we can tap into. Anytime we need help with a promotion, or we need affiliates to get on board to promote something for us, we have our network there. You know, when we started our podcast, we were able to line up our first 50 guests with no effort at all because we just contacted the network that we've created over the years. And I don't think I really had that realized at age 25. I think at age 25, I was thinking to myself, if I can figure out how to lock myself in an office and never have to interact with anybody ever and make money, that sounds like my ideal lifestyle. And obviously, we all know that's not how business works now. So my philosophy now is try to know as many people as possible.
Wow, that's a huge change. Well, thank you so much for being on the Digital Marketer Podcast. Before we sign off, where can people find out more about you and what you got going on?
Thanks for having us on so much. So the best place folks can go check us out is actually a little freebie book that we put together, if that's cool to give away. No free
go for
shipping
it.
Or any of that stuff. It's just totally free. It's called the Evergreen Traffic Playbook. And it lines out a lot of our traffic strategies of kind of having this omnipresence look. It's all step-by-step processes and stuff like that. We also get into a lot of our content repurposing tactics. And then we have some strategies from experts we've had on our show as well. So folks can get that at hustleandflowchart.com/digitalmarketer. That's hustleandflowchart.com/digitalmarketer.
Well, thank you guys so much.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for having us. This is a good time.
Yeah. Have a good one. And to everyone else, have have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you next time, same place. Goodbye.
Hey DM listeners, if you're running a Black Friday or Cyber Monday special, listen up, because Digital Marketer just released our Canva Holiday Promo Pack. It includes almost 200 templates that you can use to make the graphics for all your upcoming holiday specials and three unique design themes for each holiday. The Promo Pack is usually $27, but you can get it today for free. Check the show notes for the link to download, or you can go directly to digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates. That's digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates.